Bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. I hope that you're streaming us. I hope that you also go to WJR.com and get our podcast. If you can't be here noon to 2, Monday through Friday for Focus, certainly listen to us at your convenience at WJR.com, the WJR app. Get our podcasts of the whole show. They go by very quickly, and we miss you if you don't check in. So we would love that. And that, but you don't, when I say you're hearing, when I'm going bum ba doo ba da, it's with the music that you don't hear. That's one of the things that happens that I'll never quite understand. It's not for me to understand, just to know that the music does not show up on the podcast. Probably a licensing thing or something. I know. I'll write music and put my own music in there. What a thought. Well, we first told you about this a couple of years ago, and our next guest, Marie, was all about this. And unfortunately, 2 years later, you'd like to say the problem's been fixed, solved, or on the way, but now the problem is getting worse. The American Society of Health System Pharmacists say drug shortages in the United States are at an all-time high, with 323 commonly used medications actually hard to find. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne has a look at what's behind the trend. What can we do, Marie?
Well, maybe the government will come to the rescue. We'll
see.
So, okay, we're talking about some basic and life-saving medicines here. We first talked about this a couple of years ago. This includes chemotherapy, pain, and sedation medications. Of course, those are used in surgical procedures, and ADHD medications. The American Society of Health System Pharmacists, that's ASHP, says exploding interest in these diabetes drugs used for weight loss, we're talking about semaglutide here, has also caused widespread shortages as supply simply can't keep up with the demand. The data shows that the highest shortages between 2019 and 2023 were antibiotics, chemo, central nervous system, and hormone therapies. So why are there shortages? Supply and demand is an issue. In rare cases, a shortage of raw materials was reported. But in about 60% of the shortages, the manufacturer either didn't provide an explanation or the shortage was for an unknown reason. Now, this year, the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, issued a report, and they said there are continued challenges for the FDA in the wake of the pandemic and their staff vacancies. However, the report said that the GAO had a long-standing problem with the FDA being able to oversee a global supply chain. Here's a little fact. The GAO found in its report that over 4,800 manufacturers providing drugs for Americans, that's about 58% of them, were coming from overseas as of 2022. And one example, last November, a pharmaceutical plant in India was flagged by an agency because they had some quality issues. The FDA said they can no longer be brought into the United States. And this is an important chemo drug. So that's just one example of why this is happening.
And this isn't even addressing, I mean, maybe it is in a sense, but the off-label usage of medicine, meaning when people found a diabetes drug would help them lose weight, they had no diabetes, but they went crazy for the drug to lose weight. And then certain diabetics couldn't get the medicine they needed for their diabetes.
Well, this is true, but that's a secondary issue to the main part of the story here. And I'd also like to say that with the semaglutide, it was being prescribed by doctors. People didn't just like go and get it. They had to
listen,
be prescribed
doctors,
by a doctor.
Doctors do off-label prescribing all the time.
Yeah. So, but that's just a small part of this whole story. The real story here is the fact that so much of our drugs are coming from overseas, that the FDA is having troubles. The GAO is probably right. They're having trouble overseeing a global supply chain. It's very different than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. You know, for the longest time, I wasn't quiet about it, much to the chagrin of some, but I've never been a fan of generic drugs for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is they were mostly made in China, now India. And then I had to throw in the towel because the brand name drugs are made in China and India now. They're all being made where they can be made for the least amount of money, but they also have absolutely different standards of sanitation than we have. So it's not surprising to me that in India they have a problem. I know there have been problems in China. And otherwise, the companies are making a lot of money. It can't be an excuse. We're not making enough money, so there are going to be 323 medications we don't make enough money on. If that were the case, we wouldn't have aspirin, because nobody makes any money on aspirin. Well, Bayer makes money on it, but, you know, per pill, it's pennies.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that as we talk about 58% of our medications coming from companies overseas, that a lot of those places that we're getting our important medications from, well, they're not our friends.
Nope.
And that could be used as a security leverage,
and
right?
And will be. Mm-hmm. And what are we doing about it? I don't know. Have you looked around and seen any pharmaceutical plants being built anywhere around here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. This is really an important thing.
You know, we really were hurt by the chip shortage. People will die by the medicine shortage. And you'd think that would get everyone's attention to say, we have to change this. We cannot be dependent on countries that hate us. And can, you know, at one point or another, they'll get the money elsewhere. Everyone thinks that if there's money involved, they're going to keep doing it. Not necessarily true, because there's other money from other places. Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
1242 WJR.